Newsmakers on the South Central Indiana News Network. Skip Daly here, and our guest, Mr. Eric Spoonmore, the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. Eric, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Skip. It's always a busy time of year in spring for the chamber, so we are looking forward to lots of events and business openings and ribbon cuttings and all of that stuff that happens during the spring season and as we get into summer. So looking forward to all that.
Now, Eric, you're no stranger to the show. You've been on several times through the years, and if memory serves me correctly, I believe you were our very first guest back when we started things in 2017 or 2018. Back then, you were a member of County Council.
Yes, I think that's right. So very familiar with the show, and it's always a pleasure to be back with you. I miss those days on the County Council.
You served Monroe County Council for a term and a half, is that right?
Yeah, about 6 years. Yep. So I ended my second term early so I could come to the chamber in December of 2021. So that left about a year and a half on that term for Jennifer Crossley to fill when she caucused into my spot.
So for about 2 to 2.5 years now, you've been the head honcho over at the chamber. How are things going?
Hey, I think things are going really well. Our membership is up. We're at about holding steady at about 850 members. Right now, lots of activity happening, lots of new businesses coming online. And so, you know, the chamber continues to lead in areas in the community on getting our convention center expansion underway. We've achieved a huge amount of progress on that project. We're working to get more housing constructed in Monroe County. We recognize that there's a huge shortage of housing, and that's affecting our workforce and our employers who want to expand their operations here and make more investments. And it affects our residents who want to achieve the dream of home ownership, but Monroe County is just too expensive for them. So we're working with policymakers to get some progress there. We've got new leadership in the city with a new mayor, been busy building relationships with Mayor Thompson and the new city council. So things are really going well right now, and I think there's just a lot of optimism in the business community. So we'll see where that takes us.
Eric, let's rewind just a little bit. Let's have you talk about what the Chamber of Commerce does. Now, most people are probably familiar with the name, the Chamber of Commerce. Of course, nationally, there's state chapters. But what are the local chapters of the Chamber of Commerce charged with, and what does the Bloomington outfit actually do?
Yeah, so the Chamber is a business advocacy organization. We've been in this community for 109 years, and we're a membership-based organization. So as I mentioned earlier, we have about 850 members. That fluctuates from month to month, but we've been holding steady at that number. We've grown over the last couple of years by about 30 members, which is always great when we have growth. Most of our members are small businesses, but we have, you know, a good number of nonprofit organizations that are members. Our public school corporations are members, institutions of higher education like IU and Ivy Tech, and then large corporate employers, our government entities, many of them are members of the chamber. Again, about 80% are small businesses. And when I talk about small businesses, really small businesses, 15 employees or fewer. Most businesses that we all know and love that make Bloomington such a wonderful, vibrant, caring, and compassionate community. So we're an independent Chamber of Commerce. We're not the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. We're not the Indiana State Chamber of Commerce. We don't have affiliations with those larger groups. So we're very much an independent organization here looking out for local employers in the Bloomington area.
In addition to supporting businesses, I believe the Chamber also has a foundation that works in conjunction with some local education initiatives. Is that right?
We do. So that is where our Success School is based out of. So the Chamber has a program called the Success School where we partner with local school corporations, MCCSC and Richland Bean Blossom, and we provide programming at all grade levels to those schools. So reality stores, we do job fairs, we do a variety of mentoring programs for students who are interested in different career pathways and getting them exposure to some of those things. And that's all in partnership with our employers and member organizations. So we try to visit each school, elementary school, middle school, and high school, multiple times a year to provide this programming that doesn't necessarily get taught through the typical curriculum, but it is a value add that the chamber provides for our school corporation so students can get exposure to the business community and different career pathways.
The chamber also has a program for young professionals, is that right?
So that's our working professionals under the age of, oh, generally around under the age of 30 or so. We're kind of loose on the guidelines for that. So anybody who's interested and considers themselves young or young at heart, more than welcome to join in our YPB programming. They do very regular events throughout the year, a lot of networking events and service events as well too, partnering with, different service organizations to help them achieve their missions as well too, and get exposure for the chamber.
So what I'm hearing, Eric, is there's really no excuse not to get exposed to the chamber here in town. You've got programs starting at elementary ages and running all the way through young professionals under 30. And then, of course, you even have programs for civic members who are not necessarily part of a local business. Is that right?
We serve all age ranges. So we have a lot of retired folks. We're very involved with the chamber in their working years and then retired and chose to become civic members of the chamber. So we go all the way from first grade all the way to retirement. There's an opportunity for you to stay involved with the Chamber of Commerce, something that we take a lot of pride in.
Well, excellent. That sounds fantastic. Now let's talk about some of what the chamber has been working on in terms of advocacy. Earlier, you mentioned the convention center and its potential expansion, and I'll use the phrase potential expansion because this is a project that's been talked about for at least 15 years or so here in Bloomington and in Monroe County. There's been different stages of this discussion, and it seems that every time there's a little bit of progress, that something knocks it down a couple of rungs. Especially during the Hamilton administration, it seemed like there's a lot of adversity between the county and the city. Why don't you update us on where the project is right now and talk about the chamber's role in all of this?
Yeah, and it's got a long history, as you mentioned. Hasn't always been an overly productive history, but we're making great strides now, making a lot of progress towards getting this expansion done. The chamber has always believed that this project is important because we have a lot of data that shows there's a huge demand for conferences and conventions here in Bloomington. A demand that we're not able to meet because of the inadequate facilities that we have. And so, it's important that we get weekday visitors coming to Bloomington because that will really support a lot of our downtown businesses. We do very well on the weekends with all the events and things going on at Indiana University, but it's that Monday through Friday, actually, really Monday through Thursday, visitor traffic that we want to increase in Bloomington. And that will really help keep our downtown vibrant, help support our businesses, and provide additional tax revenue for local government so we can enhance services that that we need to be focused on from a quality of life perspective. So we're very excited about this project. It's going to really activate a part of our downtown that is in need of some redevelopment and some reimagination and new, fresh ideas on things. If all goes well, we've now got the Capital Improvement Board created, which was done through a partnership of city government and county government. I was honored to be appointed to the Capital Improvement Board, which is the public body that will oversee the construction and management and funding of the convention center expansion. We've been meeting now since October, having some very productive meetings. We've hired an owner's representative that will be the representative of the Capital Improvement Board and the City of Bloomington, as we're working with a contractor construction manager to construct the facility. If all goes well, we're hoping that we can have the expansion opened by early 2027. So we still got about another year left of the design phase. Then we can start construction and hopefully that'll just take a couple of years or so.
Can you address where you're planning on building this expansion? That may seem like a silly question, but the county owns a bunch of land to the south of the current convention center, which was the plan for the original expansion. And then the city bought a bunch of land just to the north of the existing convention center. And then, of course, there's a bunch of property in the median between College and Walnut that's available, I believe, or for sale or something to that effect. Where's this going?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's still some possibilities out there on what the final footprint of the expansion is going to look like. But the two main options that we're looking at right now is an expansion to the north that would include what is known as the Bunger Robertson property and the adjacent parking lot there. That was purchased by the Hamilton administration and the Redevelopment Commission several years ago, for the purpose of using that property for a northward expansion of the convention center. Now, we have a new mayor and a new administration. And so, one of the questions that we as a community are kind of beginning to ask is that still the plan for that property? It may be, it may not be. There's some conversations, I think, that are taking place, and I'm not quite sure where things stand with that, but I think ideally, that expansion would go north so that it could transition better into the downtown area. We really want to drive traffic of the conventions and the conferences and all the different civic organizations that are having events there. We really want them to go downtown and use the Beeline Trail, head north, go to the restaurants, go to the shops. So I think that would be the ideal place for it. But, it's possible that the city has other ideas at this point. We may have to revert back to the original plan of a southward expansion before that Bunger Robertson property was ever purchased by former mayoral administration. So, still some questions in the air on that. Either way, we'll be able to make adjustments relatively easy. We have schematics from the architects that outline both options. Once we get some feedback from the Redevelopment Commission on the availability of that Bunger Robertson property, then we'll know for sure which direction we're going in.
One more quick thing on the convention center before we move on. Now, Eric, you've mentioned the need to bring more visitors in Monday through Friday and that this project will accomplish that goal. But it doesn't seem as if the improvements, quote unquote, to our infrastructure over the last handful of years has really made Bloomington a welcoming community to host additional visitors. Where's all that traffic going to go? What is it you're hearing from the CIB? What is it that you're hearing from community leaders and business leaders about the infrastructure needs to be able to handle the visitors that you're hoping to bring to our community?
There's going to have to be a need for infrastructure improvements, and that's going to be included in the overall cost of the expansion. But in terms of, parking facilities, we've got a new parking garage right there at 4th Street that I think could be utilized very well by this project. We've got, roadways that are pretty main thoroughfares that get traffic from north to south pretty easily, one-way traffic on both sides, whether that's College or Walnut. So we don't really see a whole lot of concerns there, but there will be, utilities are going to have to be relocated. There's going to have to be some enhancements to the streetscapes. There's going to have to be some pedestrian considerations for pedestrians and the influx of more pedestrians in the area down there and providing safety. But overall, I think we're going to be in relatively good shape. It won't be a huge, enormous additional cost to the expanded facility. But anytime you take on a big project like that, you're going to have to look at infrastructure and add in some cost for that for sure.
All right, then moving along, Eric, earlier you talked about concerns. What are some of the other concerns or hot topics that the chamber has been involving itself with?
Well, this is we've got two very important elections coming up in the primary this year, local elections that really impact a lot of our zoning policies and things like that. So we have two competitive commissioner races, both of which we've got competitive Democratic primaries for those two seats, and one of them even has a competitive Republican primary. And so that's really great to see that there's a lot of interest in these offices. And we think that the more that the people have choices in elections, the better. And so we expect to hear a lot of differing ideas on the future of growth in Monroe County. The chamber really does think that, we need to be growing more. We need to be growing smarter, especially when it comes to housing and home ownership opportunities. Probably the quickest pathway for people to build wealth and provide a better future for their families. But if we can't afford to live here, we're going to be missing out because workers will be moving to other surrounding communities where it's more affordable to live. And we know that we've got a real affordability problem here in Monroe County when it comes to housing. We know we've got an availability issue with housing in Monroe County, and that's across all price points. Lots of data that would suggest that. And so we are really urging policymakers and decision makers to make housing and the growth of housing a priority because it's a workforce issue. If we can't get workers to live here and they're moving outside of Monroe County, it won't be too long before the employers follow the workers. And so that's the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night as I think about our long-term challenges. How can we make Bloomington and Monroe County more affordable, more accessible to our workforce and to all residents who want to live here and recreate here and, really set roots and raise a family here?
Recently, there's been some talk about a housing project on the west side of Bloomington between Tap and 2nd Street. What are the thoughts that the chamber has on that project?
Yeah, we were there at the Plan Commission. We were really pleased to see that the Plan Commission nearly unanimously approved it. I think there was one abstention on that vote, but overall, 7 in favor, 1 abstained. And so we were pleased with that outcome. We really see this as a huge way of making an impact on the much-needed housing that we need. There's going to be a lot of apartments associated with that particular project. There's some environmental concerns that need to be addressed. And so we were really pleased that the developer wants to address those concerns and has a plan to do it. And that was agreeable to the Plan Commission. So we're always looking for new opportunities for housing, whether that's, apartments or condos or single family homes or whatever it may be. So this will be a really great first start in making a dent in the need that we have. But we've still got a lot of work to do, particularly when it comes to single family homes. We'd like to see even more single family residential homes being constructed in all parts of our community.
Other than the two topics that we've just discussed, what do you believe to be the number one priority for local business owners?
I would say the number one priority for local business owners is, making sure that Bloomington is a welcoming and safe place. What I hear a lot from our local businesses is concerns about public safety. We've seen an uptick in violent crime since 2014. I think the violent crime rate has increased by over 20%. In that same time frame, we've seen the number of police officers employed at BPD decline by 20%. So I don't know if there's any correlation to those two metrics, but I don't think it's just a coincidence, and I think it's worth our city decision makers to really explore what are and prioritize our public safety needs in the community. So, there's and this is a very complicated issue. There's a lot of addiction, substance use disorder issues that happen here in Bloomington that we're aware of. But it's not just Bloomington. This is happening all over the country. A lot of mental health challenges that communities are facing, and we're no stranger to that as well. And so, our businesses need to feel a sense of security in that we as a community are addressing those challenges in a meaningful way so that we can keep our community vibrant, we can keep people coming to their places of business and people feel safe, and that this is a place where people want to do business, and invest in. And so I would say that's probably the one of the top, if not the top priority for our local businesses.
Well, I think in the interest of time, we should probably start to wrap up. But before we do that, Eric, I'd like to give you the opportunity to promote some of what you have going on with the chamber. Now, I know Bloomington loses about 45,000 students over the summer, but you guys stay pretty active. Give our listeners an idea of some of the events that you have coming up over the coming months that they might want to be a part of.
Well, the place to go to view all of our events is chamberbloomington.org. We've got an event calendar there. You can see everything that we've got going on throughout the year. We do upward of 70 community events each year, so we're very busy each month. The big ones coming up here later this spring are going to be our Elect Connect event on April 16th. That will be at the Upland Woodshop. We'll be focusing that event on the local primary races. And so it's a great opportunity for anybody, not just chamber members, but we open this one up to the public to come and learn about candidates who are running for office for county commissioner, county council, and some others as well too. So that'll be an evening event that we do at Upland Woodshop. We've also got our big community business expo, which we call Showcase Bloomington. That will be happening later in May. We'll be doing that at Switchyard Park. Last year, we had about 1,500 total community members come out to that event. We'll have food trucks, we'll have a beer garden, we'll have close to 100 exhibitors set up in the Switchyard Park Pavilion and the surrounding outdoor space there, live bands. It's a fun time. Be sure to get that one on your calendar. Come check out all the local businesses who will be setting up for Showcase Bloomington. Of course, we have our golf scramble each year. That's going to be at the Bloomington Country Club. We'll be doing that in June. That's a big important event for us that members love to come out for. And then once we get in later in the summer, we'll have our annual meeting. We'll have close to 650 or so people that come to that. And another great event that we enjoy doing every year where we really get a kind of showcase all the achievements of the community. We do a lot of community awards, and we'll probably fill that convention center up with lots of chamber members and folks from the public for that event as well too. And then there's one other brand new event that we're doing this year. It's going to be during Police Week. I almost forgot about this one. This will be on May during Police Week. It's called the Valor Awards, and we're partnering with the Bloomington Northside Exchange Club. And this is going to celebrate all of our first responders. So, our police officers, our firefighters, our dispatchers, sheriff's department, and we'll be awarding them and celebrating them for all the, important work that they do in our. And we've had a ton of interest from our business members, lots of folks wanting to support this big event. We'll have that at the convention center as well, too. I'm sure it'll be a big crowd there for that, but public will be invited May 8th. If you want to support our first responders, that'll be a great opportunity to do it. Come out and check us out. I think there's a lot of great benefits from chamber membership, from networking to business development to being able to market your business here locally. As I mentioned earlier, our members join the chamber because they care about our community. They see the chamber as being a leadership organization in the community, and they want Bloomington to be the best possible place to live and work, raise a family, to have fun. We do that through a very thriving business environment here. And so when we have people with that mindset and that goal, it allows our organization to be that much more influential in the community. But we need all the members we can get and all the help we can get and getting that message out, really doing everything that we can to improve the quality of life here in Bloomington. And it's not just government that gets to make those quality of life decisions. Our businesses and our employers have to have a seat at the table. That's where the money comes from. That's where the tax dollars come from. It comes from work, it comes from employment, comes from jobs, and that's what we want to promote. And we want it to be the best possible place to live and work. And that's what the chamber's all about.
And there you have it. President and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Eric Spoonmore. Eric, thanks again for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Skip, for having me. I look forward to coming back next time.
Thanks for joining us for Bloomington Newsmakers, right here on the South Central Indiana News Network. On behalf of the entire team, my name is Skip Daly. We'll catch you next time.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.